Well, good morning. Glad you're with us this morning. Before I get to the announcements, I know that most of you stay locked and loaded and glued into everything I say and everything Dusty says. So I'm not talking to you that are focused, okay? But the rest of you that sometimes you get a little out there, Priscilla Westfield is going to share a story from this past week. And I want you to be not just tuned in mentally, but I want you to be tuned in spiritually. Because what she's getting ready to share, I honestly believe that some of you don't believe this can happen to Christians in America today, that God can use them the way she's getting ready to share that God used her this past week. So I'm not going to steal your thunder, Priscilla. Take it away. And that's not about the story she's getting ready to share.
Really?
That happened yesterday.
Come on, Dang.
She really did get that trophy. She's getting the trophy, not presenting the trophy. All right. So.
Yes, and I want to add that Dane smoked me in the run. He was way ahead of me. Or sorry, in the bike. He got second place in his age group. But
May have been.
But this past week, I had the privilege of witnessing a miracle that God did. I was at my daughter's field day at the school, and a boy in her class was sitting probably where Brian's sitting right now. And he was sitting on the ground and he started throwing up. And my first reaction was like, oh my goodness, another stomach virus. And I'm like, oh, let me stay over here. So the teachers are trying to move the kids to the side and they're getting the nurse to come over and take care of the little boy. And by that time they were wrapping up the field day for lunch. So they were doing their last event and they were about to head off to lunch. And a couple minutes pass by, and he's just sitting there like he's not moving. And then the nurse comes, and as soon as the nurse gets there, he just collapses back. And I'm like, oh, goodness, this just got serious. So the coach, he was rushing the kids off to lunch, and he was yelling at the kids, you guys need to hurry up and go, 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 go. And I'm stuck with Josiah, and I got the stroller right in front of me. I'm like, I can't really go anywhere, so I was waiting for the kids to go, and by the time that happened, the coach came over and was helping the nurse with the little boy, and then he started doing chest compressions on him. I was like, oh my goodness. So one of the parents started kind of freaking out, and I was like, you know, calm down. In the back of my head, I'm like, I want to do something, but the best thing for me to do is just stand back and let them take care of it. So they're doing chest compressions, and I kind of glance over, and he's like all white, and his eyes are in the back of his head. And I don't know why, but I'm not an intercessory prayer person by any means. That's not my spiritual gift. I'm very self-conscious when I'm like out in public, like as far as sharing my faith and stuff like that. But it seemed like it was instinctive. Like God just opened my hands. I guess the same way, like some people of you are CPR certified, if you saw something, you just automatically spring into action. I guess that was the same thing. Like, I didn't know I had it in me, but it seemed like God just opened my hands and closed my eyes. I didn't know what to say, so I just started speaking in tongues. And, like, I closed my eyes. I wasn't aware. I was kind of aware, but I wasn't aware of what was going on around me. Like, it just seemed like it was chaos. Like stuff was happening, like that was bad. So I was praying, and the deeper I got into prayer, I just started thanking him, just praising him no matter what the situation was. I was praising, I was thanking God for him being God and in control of any situation. And the next thing I know, a couple other parents hold my hand, and then another person puts their hand on my shoulder, and they start praying alongside me. And so I'm like crying and praying. It's like the harder I prayed, it's like all of a sudden I felt like a peace, like it was going to be okay. And when that peace came, that's when I started to hear, okay, he's coming. All right, you know, they were starting to encourage him. And then I heard beep, beep, beep. And then I opened my eyes, and he was on his knees. And I was like, I had a confidence and assurance that it was okay. So I wiped my face with a baby wipe, and I went on my way. And by that time, the paramedics came, and they were kicking everybody out. So I was like, I'm good. I felt like I did my part, or God used me to do or to fight, if that makes any sense. They were fighting physically, doing CPR and all that other stuff, and I was fighting spiritually. And I can feel the warfare that was happening at that moment. I could feel it. So I went on my way, and later in the day, they still had the field day, because he was okay. He was rushed off to the hospital, and I saw the coach, and I was like, "Coach, you all right?" He's like, "Yeah, it's going to take like a couple weeks to get over this thing," because he was gone. He was gone for over 2 minutes. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. But just to see that he was brought back from the dead, that God worked a miracle through me and the parents that were there, in addition to the ones that were doing CPR and the rescue breathing, I just thought that was awesome. Sorry. Basketball camp. Don't forget about basketball camp. July 17th, 18th, 19th. We still need volunteers. If you want to volunteer, email me, sycamorebasketballcamp@yahoo.com, or just come up to me and I'll give you some information. Don't forget basketball camp.
Don't leave. Hold on one thing, though. You said something about the story. The principal called you the next day. Yeah. Didn't the principal say something?
She she called me the next day, and she wanted to personally thank me for praying there. She said she called me one of the, not the hidden heroes, but one of the, I guess, behind the scene heroes for actually, you know, praying over the situation and I guess stepping into faith, because it's hard to do that nowadays, especially, you know, with all the criticism and all that other stuff. But it wasn't me. It was God that did it. It was instinctive. Like, God used my hands to pray for him.
Thank you, Saul. Yesterday at that race, Priscilla and I were just standing around. She goes, "I want to tell you about this miracle." I admit that I was kind of like, "Okay, tell me about this miracle." And when she told me that story, I was like, "I'm done." I said, "We got to tell everybody." Because I'm telling you right now, we don't live our lives as if God could really do that. We say we do, but do you really believe he still does? He raised the dead. Does he raise the dead? So I challenge you with that this morning. The only other thing I want to tell you is summer camp. I just need your forms. I need your water. I need your toilet paper. I need your prayers. I need your camperships. All right? So if you don't understand that by now, then maybe Priscilla should start praying for you, because I'm not sure you're breathing. All right? Let's pray. God, we bless you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you that you still use us. God, forgive us for making excuses of, "We don't have anything to offer." That's garbage. That's a lie from hell. Lord, you have called us. You've empowered us. Father, you've given us all power and authority for your kingdom, for your name. Priscilla has done what your word has said, and that is lifted your name high so that the world may know. How many more people are hearing this story about somebody who wasn't going to make it, that you rescued and that you preserved their life, Father? We praise you for that today. Lord, I would pray today that we would honor you and glorify you through all we say and we do, not just because that's what we're supposed to do, because we get to do it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, kiddos, come on, join me up here. How's everybody? Good to see you. Good to see you. All righty. Oh, y'all get you a place. I'm gonna need your help. Who wants to volunteer to be the criminal that's in jail?
Me.
All right. No, we're not going to. All right, come on. Your hand was up first. Now, what's your name?
Kenwan.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kenwan. Now, I want you to stand over here, and you're gonna act like, give me your best, "I'm a criminal in jail" look. Okay, all right. Okay, now, all right, he's in jail. What's going to happen? What do you do if you're in jail? But how long will you be in jail? Whatever the sentence says, right? But what if somebody could pay to get him out of jail? All right, who wants to be the warden of the?
Me.
All right, nah, you'll enjoy it too much. Let's see. All right, come on. All right, you gonna be the warden? All right, now warden, I want to let you know, under no circumstances are you supposed to let me pay you off to get him out of jail. Okay. All right, warden. Hey, listen, I'd like to get Kimon out of jail. I got a little money here. Would you take this money?
No.
Can I give you any money to get him out of jail?
No.
No money. Look at Kenwant. Look at his face. He needs to get out of jail.
But that's the face of a criminal.
Okay. All right. Sit down over here, warden. All right. Who would like to take his place to get him out of jail? All right, David, come on. All right, now I want to let you know, the warden told me privately that if someone would come and take Kenwan's place and serve out all the years of his sentence, that he had let Kenwan out of jail. Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Kenwan, David's going to take your place, and he's going to serve your sentence. He's going to pay the price that you should pay for your crimes. You have anything you want to say to David?
You're welcome.
All right. All right. And now David's serving Kinwan's sentence. Come on over here, David. I want to read y'all a verse. Listen to this. This is from 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "For you have been bought with a price." You know what all of us deserve because we're separated from God and we have sinned? We deserve to be separated from Jesus forever. But what did Jesus do for us? That's right. Jesus came and he paid our price for our sin. And he took our place so that we, as Kimwan, could walk free because we accepted the gift that was given to us. He could have stayed in jail, couldn't he? He could have stayed in jail and refused David's offer, but he accepted David's offer. That's what we do when we ask Jesus into our lives. We're accepting God's free gift. He has paid the price by His blood on the cross for our sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for all of your blessings, for speaking to us today, for speaking to these children that we love so much. We pray today, Lord, that they'll continue to learn about you as they go to Kid Zone and speak to us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I was all prepared today with another sermon completely. Y'all know this happens to me occasionally. I had another sermon altogether that I'd been working on for several weeks, and about middle of the week, the Lord spoke to me about this, and you'll see what it's all about. Hearing what Priscilla had to say today and just seeing all that God is doing today, I know that I followed His will, and I know this sermon is for the day. Title of today's message is Redeemed Without Money. Isaiah 52:3 says, "For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money." He says that in Isaiah. This is hundreds of years before Jesus comes. And he's talking about Israel. He's talking about the people. But he's also talking about us and who would come through Israel as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come through Israel. So with that in mind, if y'all would hit the lights back there, I want to show you a 3.5-minute video that I think you will remember.
Is anybody there?
I'm sorry to disturb you.
Caught him.
But I have my eye on this man.
Thank God.
I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
And don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
I can never read that or watch it. It is the gospel. Those of you who don't know, that's a scene from Les Miserables. And Jean Valjean, he has been in prison originally for 5 years, and he kept trying to escape. It extended on out to 19 years. You know, it's from Hugo's book that he wrote in 1862. that I don't know if I'd recommend the book to you. It's a real long book. Several adaptations have been made of it. And he's been released from prison. And he comes to this town and no one will let him stay. He is being rejected in every way. And he comes to the bishop's home. And the bishop invites him to stay. And Jean Valjean repays his kindness by stealing their silverware. And is caught again. His original crime was stealing bread to feed a relative's children. And he's caught again, and he's on this life of, it seems like, that he is damned to be damned from all redemption. And the priest there, the bishop, is the Christ figure in the story as he forgives. He forgives and he gives him the chance to become a new man. Isn't that the gospel? I want to read 1 Peter, which is our extended passage for the day, beginning in verse 18 of chapter 1. Listen to this story, this reasoning here. I'll not make a whole lot of comments about it, so you'll have to listen to it closely. But it tells the story of what we're talking about today. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, i.e. the fall. The ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him for the purpose long before the world began. For now in these final days, he has sent to earth for all to see. And he did this for you. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And because God raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. Now you can have sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters because you were cleansed from your sins when you accepted the truth of the good news. So see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your hearts. For you have been born again, and your new life did not come from your earthly parents, because the life they gave you will end in death. But this new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. As the prophet says, people are like grass that dies away. Their beauty fades as quickly as the beauty of wildflowers. The grass withers, the flowers fall away, but the Word of God will last forever. And that Word is the good news that was preached to you. So put yourself in the place of Jean Valjean. What do you have to offer? What do you bring to the table? The Bible says it clearly in Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Who sin? We sin. Which people sin? all people sin. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious ideal, His standard, the glory of God. Yet one who lived the perfect life. His name is Jesus. So what does this say about us, about what we bring to the table? First of all, it says that we're dead. Scripture says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Secondly, we're a slave. Before Jesus, we were a slave. Look in the story, Jean Valjean, look at his slavery to his past deeds, his slavery to society, his slavery to his guilt. It is there, it is unmistakable. He can't get away from it. We can't get away from it. Third, we're separated from God and from life. And just like as Jean Valjean went around door to door in that little town, even after he's supposedly the cruelty of being released from prison and then to be rejected by everyone all over again. He goes door to door and he's rejected again and again and again. And that spiritually is our condition before Jesus comes into our lives. We are separated from God and from life. We're not in the process of living. We're in the process of dying. We're on a destination course, a must at the end of that. That is death. Fourth, we're chased by the deeds of our past. And we see that in the story that with Jean Valjean. He is chased by these deeds. And you know what I'm talking about. Those deeds that you thought were hidden, the things about you that you thought that no one else saw, but you know that they're chasing you, they're running you down. And I see it every week as a pastor. In the decades I've been doing this, I watch people in their lives being chased by their past. And some of them, even at the point as they're coming to the end of this life and death, they're still feeling that they're being pursued by their past and their past deeds. Number five, you may have thought you could escape, but in the end, the guilt is still there. You're always going to be guilty. I mean, that is the story. In Les Miserables, at least the first part of the story. Feeling that. Well, that's what we bring to the table. Scripture says in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who will free me from the body of this death? What's the answer? Is it just to curse God and die like Mrs. Job told him after all this stuff? Or is there something better? I hope you're praying right now, because we're sitting here, and let me tell you, Brother Dusty needed to hear this today. And I don't think I'm alone. I don't think I'm alone. So what is it that Jesus brings to the table? Here Jean Valjean comes and the last thing in the world that he expects to find in this town, you know, he's been rejected at every door and now he's caught thieving again. He is brought by the soldiers to face those who would accuse him and pronounce him guilty again. And what does he get? The plot thickens with a surprise he could never have imagined in his wildest dreams that what would be waiting on him would be forgiveness and blessing and a blessing that would say, and he didn't say these words, but this is what he meant. I see in you, Jean Valjean, as he called him, my brother. I see in you something that you can't see in yourself. So what does Jesus bring to the table? Acts 20:28. This is part of that extended passage when Paul has called the Ephesian elders out and he is about to go away and he's given them some counsel about things that are going to happen. And he says these words to them. He says, "And be on your guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his blood." I want to remind you as we pose the question, what does Jesus bring to the table? It says it clearly in that verse. Purchased with his own blood. So let's look at it in detail. Number one, a plan set from the foundation of the world. Because we read in the Revelation, we read it that he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means that even before God spun this world into existence, even before he breathed into man and man became a living soul, that God was already planning to redeem man. I don't understand his sovereignty. I don't understand how God knows everything, but he's God and he does, and I trust him in that. And so as I look back on this, even before man fell, God was planning to rescue him. Get that. What love, what care, what attention to detail about all of who we are, that God was planning that for you and for me. That's good news. That's good news. Who plans for you like that? Who has the ability, the capacity to plan for you like that? Only one. Only Him. Number two. You could never earn or deserve what Jesus would bring. You couldn't do enough good deeds. You could never get to the point where he could deserve, that you would deserve what he would give. Don't you imagine that's what's going through Jean Valjean's mind as he's looking at that bishop, as he's got him up there in the face, and all he can see is forgiveness. Imagine what the face of Jesus must look like. Well, that day it looked like the bishop. That day, forgiveness came in that form. So if you're thinking here today that, hey, I'll get better and better, I'll learn how to do that, that's how our society works. You know, you self-improve. Let me ask you, how's that working out? How's it working out for our society? Case closed. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. Number three, the perfect, sinless Son of God would have to die in your place. You see, just like in our little kids' play that we did, someone had to pay the price. You listen to interviews, you hear people, they talk about their lives and they talk about the emptiness, and there is within man this sense that man knows that something's missing from his life. And he knows that there's a debt in his life. And you look at all the lengths to which man will go to try to assuage the guilt that is in his life that he knows he has. That, you know, that, and there's, he knows that as he mounts up the good deeds, that there's never enough good deeds that'll make up for that. But someone comes and offers you the gift and says, "I'll take your place." That's what the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus, did for us. Number four, he paid a debt that he didn't know. Right? What debt did Jesus owe? Remember Mrs. Pilate? You know, this man's sin, this man is guiltless. She's telling her husband, and you're gonna let him die. Over and over again, people said that about him. He is sinless. But he pays a debt he didn't owe. So that number five, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. We're in jail. We're separated. We're away from God. There's no way out unless somebody takes our place. Number six, a miracle has to happen. A miracle. We heard about one today, which brings us to number seven. What did Jesus do? He purchased our lives back from the grave. I didn't hear this story till this morning. Here's a child. Has all the appearance of being dead. And God decides it's not time. It's not time. And brings that child back from the dead. What a beautiful picture of what he does for us spiritually through the good news. As he snatches us and purchases, pays our penalty, and brings us back from the dead. And the life he gives, that life, it's not a life that'll be given away. You think about it as the bishop is facing Jean Valjean, the, you know, with all the stuff that as he would be chased down and hunted down in his life, and all the things that he would experience, and he would eventually die physically in this life. But there was a gift that he was able to receive in his life that came via this bishop. It was a gift of forgiveness. As he said, so I can give you back to God. That's redemption. Bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. So, what shall you do now? The jail cell has swung open wide. And there's the offer. You can stay in jail. Or you can walk out into freedom. Number two, it's only you that can take that step of faith that brings you out. when the offer is made. So at number three, in the end, as our not ready for prime time actor showed us, it was not choosing what David did. It was choosing him. You get that? I want you to get this. This is important. When we come to Jesus, we're not choosing what he did. That you can limp, you know, up or down about that, you know, put that away. We're choosing him because the package of his forgiveness comes wrapped in his person. Because he personally took our place on the cross. Do you see it? Do you see it? This is the sin of America in the church. We think we can choose what he did without choosing him. No such thing. Number four. Because after all, he chose you. Why don't you choose him? Now I ask you that question. Because I'm positive in our group today that we have people sitting here that have never chosen Jesus. You may have chosen the church. You may have chosen a religion. You may have chosen good deeds. You may have chosen doctrine. You may have chosen a host of other things. But that's not who I'm bringing to you today. I'm bringing Jesus to you today. The crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm inviting you as he stares you in the face. He flips that covering off of your head. And he stares you in the face. And he says, I have paid your price. I have ransomed you. I have redeemed you without silver or gold through my blood. I love you. He always leads with his love. This message today is not a message of damnation. It's not a message of guilt. In fact, you'd be hard put to accuse me of that because what we've been talking about today is how, what to do with the guilt you already have. It's about receiving a gift from the Lord. And it's himself. So what about it? Finally. How your life changes once you've made this transaction. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:20, I read to kids, for God bought you with a high price. Now, I didn't read the second part of this verse to the kids. So you must honor God with your body. In other words, if you really indeed have made this transaction with the Lord, your life will never be the same. Your life will change. Number one, you no longer live the way you used to. Now you'll fall off the wagon sometime. Yes, you'll have problems, but your life is changed. The bent, the direction, because you see, you've made that transaction. You've turned from your way of doing things to Jesus. That's that 180 that, and that is what the word repent means, to think again, to turn. Number two, your identity is not the same. When the bishop was looking into Jean Valjean's face, who was he seeing? He saw his brother, not a criminal. Your identity is never the same again. And yet we continue to listen to the evil one and the world system and our own flesh that wants to say, well, you're still, no, you're not. You've changed. Number three, you must learn how to live as a free man. Number four, you're not a convict without a cell, you're free. Think of this now. In that, many of you have seen the movie Shawshank Redemption. And you, when they let those guys loose, do they know how to live? Do they know how to live? Let me tell you, God even made a way for that, because that's why He gave us the church, the living, breathing body of Jesus on this earth. So that we can walk with each other, so that we can teach one another, so we can show one another how to live, so we can be hands and feet and show people what it looks like. Finally, we just need to live like it, to live like we've been redeemed without money. That's all I have to say about that. Let's pray. Now, Lord, as we come to this time of ministry, we're asking You, Jesus, come, reveal Yourself to us. Lord, I intercede right now. I intercede first of all for people who are listening to me and knowing in their heart Jesus is reaching out to them and drawing them. I pray today, Jesus, that they could receive Your love. Receive You and all that You bring to their lives. May this be the time, Lord. And Lord, I pray for us who are trying to live it out. Lord, I pray against a spirit of independence, thinking we can be a Lone Ranger Christian. Lord, I ask You to show us the circle of people that are Your hands and feet around us. And Lord, show us the even wider circle of people who are believers in You, who have trusted in You, but are still just outside the cell. They've never walked in freedom in life because they don't know how. Lord, I'm asking You to show us. Show us how to live it out. Show us what it looks like, Lord. Thank You. The altar's open. Pastors will be here if you want someone to pray with you. But this is your time to reflect on what the Lord has spoken to you. And as I've said it many times, whatever's not of God that I've spoken or you've seen today, just let it fall to the ground. But every detail of what we've heard from God today, may it stick close to our hearts today, right now. The altar's open. Well, you feel like you've been with the church today? I didn't ask you to feel like you've gone to church or you were at church. We are the church, aren't we? Let's say it.
We are the church.
Yes, sir. And I'm about to send you out in the world that needs Jesus. I want to remind you, too, I got my grandson's little Bible from his dedication here. If you haven't, if you'd like to write a word to him that he'll read about 15 years later, if Jesus tarries, you can put it in here. I'll leave it up here. All right? And let me send you out in the name of Jesus. Has God spoken to anybody today? Priscilla, you better have your hand up today. Has God spoken to you? All right. You may want to get some more details from her. Be careful. You know, Priscilla's one of those people she might just run past heaven, you know, one day. Lord, right now, we ask you to send us out in your power to a world that is hurting, who needs the love and the power. But Lord, they need you. I'm asking you that we could be your hands and feet. Lord, let us be broken and poured out this world. Thank you now, Lord. Let us go in the grace and love of Jesus, our Savior, under the authority of Yahweh, our Father, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, stir up the gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.